Teach 613 proudly presents a lecture series on Perek Shira, The Song of Creation, by Rabbi Mordechai Rhein. This series was originally recorded in Young Israel of Cherry Hill. For more information about this series or other presentations by Rabbi Rhein, please visit teach613.org. We thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoy.
A special dedication this evening to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, both civilians and soldiers, who still don't seem to get a moment's rest. Hashem should grant them the extent of geula that we can have, and speedily Mashiach in our time.
Amen.
Also, a special dedication this evening, and you'll see as the topic develops, for those young men and women, and not so young men and women who are still looking for the Shidduchim, Hashem should grant them success speedily.
Alibi. Amen.
Our topic this evening, Perek Shira, is the spider and David HaMelech. And we begin with a quote from Perek Shira. Remember always, Perek Shira is authored in the time of the Tanoim, the same time period as Mishnah, I would say the same time period as Gemara. It's not true. Gemara is actually afterwards, but it's the same material that was studied at the time of the Mishnah. We're talking about a very weighty, high-level time period. We're told that people who are quoted in the Mishnah, to be quoted in the Mishnah, you had to be capable of Tchiyas HaMesim. That means you had to be able that if someone died and you would have preferred that they lived, that you were able to intercede with Hashem to bring them back to life. This was original CPR. You did not get a Red Cross certificate, but you were capable of doing it. Just like to put in our language what kind of people we're talking about. So if Perek Shira associates a certain animal with a certain pasuk in the Torah, there it's worth spending a session to try to figure out why that animal goes with that statement. Quote number one. Shemomis mahi omeris. What does the spider say? Halleluhu betziltzilei shoma. Praise him, Hashem, with cymbals. Halleluhu betziltzilei serua. Praise him with trumpets. Now, if we were doing a caricature of a spider, it bears explanation. We don't need to say more.
Rabbi?
Yes?
How do you know that Shmonit is a spider, or in modern day Greek, it's a kavish?
Did I plant you in the audience? Quote number two. Pasuk in Iyov. There are actually other psukim. I was a little choosy because I allow myself one handout per class. Two sides, that's it. So I had to be choosy, but this actually comes up in a number of places, that the word Shemamis is used and the word Achbish is used, and the commentaries have to tell us that we're talking about the same creature. In one place, actually, Simamis. But you got to keep track. It's all the same animal. Pasuk in Iyov. Beautiful imagery. Kein orchos kol shochechei kel. These are the pathways of all those who forget God. V'tikvas chonef toveit. And the hope of the hypocrite is doomed. Okay. Asha yakut kislo. His foolishness is cut down. Uveis achbish miftacho. And his trust is like the house of Achbish. Yishan el beso, he leans on the house, meaning, remember, this is the person who forgets God. So, he leans on the house that he created, that he's so proud of, that his strength, kochi va'otzem yadi, v'lo yamot, doesn't stand. Yachazik bo v'lo yakum, he leans on it, it does not support him. And Mitzudas Tzion writes, Achbish is the Shemamis, the spider. What's the house of the Achbish? He's known for his
web.
Grand house, his web. And you could see that as grand as it is, Eov wants to tell you that's about as much support the person who goes out on his own in this world forgetting God. He builds his mansion, which has no substance. Try to lean on it, it collapses. We always talk, Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem, blessed is the person that trusts in Hashem. V'Haya Hashem Yiftacho, Hashem is indeed his trust. Hashem is compared, Chovas HaLevavos works on this, as a walking stick. The more you lean on it, the more you gain from it. If you're not willing to lean on it, so then it's a burden. You're walking around with a walking stick and you're not using it.
Who says that?
The Chovas HaLevavos, in his introduction to Bitachon, explains that pasuk, the more you rely on Hashem, the more he comes through. The person who's saying, Kochi ve'otzem yadi, it's my own strength. So he's leaning on his mansion, he's leaning on his talent, he's leaning on his connections, his wealth. And Eov says, you know, it looks great. But God help you when someone walks over and tries to lean on it. Because it's not supporting anything. But what I brought it for is the Achbish, is the Shemamis. And that means that from now on, when we start encountering one word or the other in Jewish literature, we're comfortable, it's the same thing, we're talking about the same creature. So what does David have to do with the spider? Quote number 3. Pam achas. There was once a time. Hayah David Melech Yisrael Olav HaShalom. The great David. Yoshev Begano. He was sitting in his garden. V'ra'a Achbish. And he saw a spider. Omar David Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David said in front of Hashem, and you're allowed to do this. You're sitting in your garden, you get a moment of inspiration, and you talk to God. Right? That's obvious. It didn't even bear explanation, except that sometimes we get a little queasy about it. You're only allowed to pray in synagogue, you're only allowed to pray with the sitter. Talk to him. He's there. Ribono Shalolo, Master of the Universe. I just noticed the spider. Mahano be'elu shabarasa ba'olamecha. What benefit do we get from it that you created it? Okay, what's troubling him? What's troubling him? There are many creatures in this world that we don't have a clue. I mean, there's a part of the human body that people don't understand what we have it for. What's bothering David? Achbish ya'aro kol hashana. The spider is busy weaving an entire year. V'lo yilbashenu, and we don't wear it. Whoa, David. He's sitting there in his garden. He takes a look at the spider. He says, he goes and goes and goes and weaves and his web. And nothing. Nothing from it. Nothing good. Yeah. One second. Yeah. But David, I don't understand. Yes. Let's pause for a second. The spider is a remarkable creature. Two remarkable, amazing things about a spider. Number one is the web that it can weave. It's awesome. Scientists, even now, they're not really sure exactly how it manages to do thick web and thin web and taut, and it's able to dangle itself and climb from one ledge to another ledge using it as a safety rope. I mean, it's well known that when scientists want to develop new things for the military, they study animals. The Patriot missile, for better or for worse with its accuracy, but it was developed because of the scorpion, studying the scorpion. The spider is remarkable. And all it does is with its hind legs, it pulls this web that it's creating and adjusts it, and it don't even know what it's doing, but somehow it manufactures this beautiful web. Another thing is the way it eats. The spider finally catches something in its web and it rushes over. The spider has no digestive system as we know it. The spider has a vial of poison, if you will, which it spits on its prey and liquefies it. If you wanted to be appetizing, this wasn't the place. Okay? It spits it out, liquefies the prey, and slurps it up. If there's an ecoskeleton, so it does have a fang, jabs it, gets its poison in, and slurps it up. Just studying any animal, I mean, it's not just the spider, but anything. Anybody who does the study, you take a look at evolution, which is not our topic tonight, and you start laughing. Because there's certain things that don't happen by mutation. They say Darwin himself wrote that when he thinks of the human eye, he gets chills all over, because that doesn't mutate. You don't have a piece of skin and then one day an eye with all its sophistication, the retina, it doesn't happen. And Rabbi Yisrael Reisman has a shiur in which he describes a group of college youth coming to New York, and they were going to see the sights. So what are the sights in New York? He loves to present it with his own humor. He says, you know, the local deli and Rabbi Reisman. So they came to him. He says, anything you want to talk about, I'm willing to talk about, except evolution. Because I spent my own time on it, and I racked my brain, and it doesn't work. Two cars have an accident at an intersection. Explosion, it does not produce a limousine. It just doesn't. Unless there's a master. So you can call that master. You can call him Lord. You can call him Creator. You can call him God. You can call him the manufacturer. Although car manufacturing right now is not a very positive thing to be in. But there has to be someone there who's doing it. You can call him whatever you want. But, you know, that's a topic I'm not willing to discuss because I feel it's a waste of time. But beyond that, we can talk about anything. The spider, remarkably from its front, from the way it eats, it then slurps up this liquid. Its digestive system is basically a sieve. The liquid has to go through a sieve. If he slurps something up that he can't digest, it gets blocked and he spits it out. Yes, but David is looking at the spider, and we have to know what he's so against the spider. Poor spider! David wants to know, he weaves a web a whole year long, and we have no benefit from it. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, David, excuse me, Maligato al Habrios, you're making fun of things that I created? Tavo Shah, the time is going to come, v'titztarech lohem, and you're going to need it, v'teida lama nivru, and you're going to know why it was created. As we say in New Jersey, humph. Uchashenech v'bima'orem v'pnei shal ha-melech, when David later was hiding in a cave from King Shaul. You'll notice here, just to pay attention to the dating here, the Medrash began by telling you that David Melech Yisrael was in his garden. He was not in his garden as king. The person David, who I can't mention his name without telling you that he later became Melech Yisrael, was sitting in his garden, because he was not king yet when this happened, because he's still running from Shaul at a later date after this dialogue with Hashem. So in any case, but when he's hiding in the cave from Shaul, his father-in-law, who thought that David was a criminal worthy of death because he was rebelling against the crown, in reality, what was David doing? His best to be an Eved Hashem. His best to serve Hashem properly. Shmuel had already anointed him to be the next king. The spirit of success granted to the king had already been transferred from Shaul to David. So even though Shaul was still king technically, and David did nothing to rebel against him, it was not his time yet, but the spirit of salvation had already been granted to David. So David went out to battle as a general for the Jewish people, working for Shaul. And he was successful. Awesomely successful, with no fear at all. He's the only one who's willing to confront Goliath. David and Goliath, right? Everyone was afraid, except for David. He already felt that energy. So Shaul, in his melancholy, in his frustration, was against David. So he's chasing him with a full army. David, on one occasion, jumped into a cave to hide, to rest. Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Achbish, Hashem sent a spider, va'orga al-pi ha-ma'ora, and the spider made a web across the front of the cave. I see, recollection of this famous medrash. V'sagra oso, and sealed the cave. Ba Shaul, Shaul came, v'ra arug, and he sees the web. Oma bevade lo nichnas adam heina. No one could have gotten in here. Shem nichnas, because if anyone had gone in here, haya koreya ha'arug likroim, the web would have been broken. V'halach, and Shaul continued in his search for David, v'lo nichnas l'sham, and he didn't go into that cave. U'chasheyatza David. And when David came out, he obviously heard Shaul's comment and realized why he was saved. V'ra ha'achbish, and he saw the spider, tried this on. Noshka, he kissed the spider. I don't know, maybe you could throw kisses to spiders. I don't know. V'omala, and said to it, Baruch Bar Echa, blessed is your creator, Ubrucha At, and blessed are you. Ribono Shalola, Master of the Universe, Miyase Kemaasecha Vichigvurasecha, who can do like your handiwork? Shekoma Asecha Noim, everything you do is pleasant, is beautiful. David is humbled by Hashem's masterful creation. Hashem provides us with every tool we need to succeed. And He provides the world with every tool it needs for its destiny to succeed. And David just witnessed the spider was put in the world because Hashem knew that on one occasion he's going to have to call it services. So he put it in the first aid bag. You know, sometimes when you send kids off on a Lag BaOmer trip or something, so there's a special bag of provisions that the principal sends along. And the principal, he or she, doesn't bother explaining to anybody what's in that bag. You know, the tuna fish sandwiches, everybody understands. The soda, the juice, everyone understands. And that bag, you know, it's got the bandages, it's got who knows what it's got in there. No one knows. But those who know, we might need those provisions. On whatever occasion, lo aleinu, that we might need them, we have them. So David sees the spider. But again, there's so many creatures that we don't understand. What does David have it in for the spider for? Quote number 4. Pasuk in Tehillim, we probably said it close to a trillion times, but we need to have English translation in front of us, I guess, and pay attention. Pasuk in Tehillim, Perekuf Mem, 140. Shanenu l'shonam kemo nachash. Their sharpened tongues are like a snake. Chamas achshuv tachas sefasei mosela. The venom of a spider is under their lips. Achshuv is an achbish, a spider. Ratza lomar, what's the pasuk telling you, the Mitzudas David says? Ein poskin miledaber lashon hara. We're talking about people who cannot stop from saying lashon hara. They're gossipers. They're constantly weaving a web for people to destroy them and pouring venom on them so that they could slurp them up. David suffered from lashon hara. Shaul gets this melancholy. He's sad, he's depressed. The kingdom is being taken from him and he senses it. He doesn't know who's doing it. Shmuel was under orders and he did it quietly to anoint David. Shaul's still king, but he senses something's up. And every time he gets a sensation and a fear, there were people in his cabinet who fueled it, who kept it going. To the point that Michal, the daughter of Shaul, and the wife of David, is caught right in the middle of this. And one night, there's a siege on her house. They want David. Now Michal was loyal to David. She saw what was going on. Perhaps David revealed to her that Shmuel had already anointed him. To his wife, perhaps, he was able to tell. But imagine getting a knock on your door. Your father is in charge of the troops, and they want her husband. She stalls and gets him out through a window. In the morning, they finally come in, and they find that David is gone. He's escaped. So Shaul confronts his daughter. What's Michal supposed to answer? Her father has gone nuts. He's ready to kill. What's she supposed to answer? So she answers very creatively. It's not my fault. You gave me in marriage to this murderer, to this terrible... What am I for me? He took a sword out. He threatened my life. And I had to let him go. He would have killed me. And that's the position Michal is in. Imagine the Lashon Hara that's flying around. David, in fleeing, ends up in the house of Achimelech, the king, the famous story of Nov Ir HaKohanim. David shows up, he asks for food, Achimelech gives him food, and shortly thereafter, Shaul shows up with the troops. What happened? David came, we didn't know, we didn't know anything, he told us he's hungry, we gave him food. Doeg fuels it with a good dose of Lashon Hara, doesn't take much, a nice sharp statement, and Shaul is convinced that the city of Nov, the city of the Kohanim, has rebelled against him in support of David. Now mind you, David is the son-in-law of the king, he's been the general of the king, and if he shows up in a city hungry, honor to the crown would be to give him something to eat. But you could make Lashon Hara out of anything. You can spin a web. And that's what Doeg did. And David, both personally and his conscience of the people that died because of him, Shaul killed out the city. And it's all on the shoulders of someone who spoke Lashon Hara. David says, Shamreini Hashem midei Rasha. Save me, Hashem, from the hands of the Rasha, the wicked one. Meish chamosim tinsereini, from the person of iniquity, protect me. Asher choshfu litchos pa'amai. Because they have this strategy to catch my feet, to push my feet down. Tamnu geyim pachli, the arrogant ones have set traps for me. Chavolim parsu reshes, they've spread ropes, nets. Mokshim shasu lisela, there are traps that have been set for me. David, in Tehillim, in fact, uses the imagery of a spider between the web and the poison under its lips to describe the person speaking Lashon Hara. The imagery, I mean, it's amazing. The poison in particular is coming straight out of the spider's mouth. Yeah.
Like I said, next time I see a spider in my house, I shouldn't kill it.
Patience, patience. Understanding the spider. Pasuk in Mishle. Remarkable. Simonis, the spider. B'yadayim titafes. With its hands, it captures. V'hi beheichle melech. And it can be found in the courtyards of the king. The Vilna Gaon writes, Shekol Birya, all creations, Kishetase Beis Moshava, when it makes its home, Hi Meviya Mimakam Acher Mimalasos. It brings things from other places in order to create its domicile, where it's going to live. The bird is classic. It's catching all these little pieces. And it creates, what a beautiful home. Particularly, it's really nice to walk on the sidewalks in the winter. And you look, you see, wow. The spider, Avalashimomis, the spider, Taser Biodea Mamish, it's like with its hands. We probably would refer to it as its feet, its hind legs, but its hands. It doesn't need anything else. That's the imagery. It produces the fluid. It stretches it into a web. It places it in place. It's all self-propelling. What are we describing? Lashon Hara. It doesn't have to be anything in the object of our Lashon Hara that's not in anybody else. Everybody else is wearing a funny sweater, and everybody else is wearing funny shoes. But if you want to create something, go ahead. Everybody has a lisp of some sort, and everybody has a history. You want to make a web, you make a web. You catch the person. And you just poison them until there's nothing left. And the expression of our sages, Kimcha techina tochan. You destroy something so much that it's already like flour. When it comes to grind it, there's nothing left. You're grinding flour. The person has already been destroyed before you destroy them. And that's the spider. I come to slurp you up. There's nothing left. Because verbally, you've already destroyed. Okay. Why is David so frustrated, though, when he sees this imagery? He's not really asking about the spider. He's asking about the Baal Lashon Hara, about the person who speaks Lashon Hara. Why do you put him in the world? What do we need him for? He's in the courtyards of the king. He manages to be glib, and he manages to put himself up just in the right spots, and there's nothing to him. He has no substance, no personal talent. He knows how to knock other people down. There are two people that David suffered particularly from. If you don't remember these two people from the book of Shmuel, memorize them. Doeg and Shimei. Doeg and Shimei. They were both enormous Talmidei Chachamim, leaders of the people, and chose Lashon Hara as a talent of life. Doeg's end will be that he'll go crazy and his students will leave him until he dies. And Shimei, as we'll see, also was deserving of punishment, but we'll see David is patient with him. Pasuk clear in Tehillim, Perek Nun Beis, chapter 52. Lamanatzeach maskil leDavid, a psalm of David. Bevo Doeg ha'adami, when Doeg came, vayaged leShaul and told Shaul, he reported, and the intonation is everything. Ba David el Beis Achimelech, the story that I described before, that David came to the house of Achimelech the Kohen. And he told them, and they gave him food. We're chasing him, trying to kill him and capture him, and he's giving him food. And David said, Matis Halel B'ra'a HaGibor. Why does the strong one have to praise himself with evil? You have so much good going for yourself, Doeg. You're a leader of the people. Why do you have to resort to Lashon Hara to feel good? And then David says, Chesed Kel Kol Hayom. The kindness of God is all day long. I sometimes get the question when we're studying laws of Lashon Hara, if someone maligns me, Do I have a right to retaliate?
No.
The answer is no. But look at David's perspective. There are ways to protect yourself, but Lashon Hara is not the way. Take a look at what David is saying when he describes the kindness of God is all day. Ata ha-gibor b'torah. You, strong one in Torah. He's talking to Doeg. Chesed kel kol hayom, the kindness of God is all day long. What's he talking about? Lahatzil es hanirdof al yodecha. To save me, who's being pursued by you, You keep trying to create this web. You're creating Shul. You're trying to galvanize the troops against me to destroy me. The kindness of God is all day long. That's how I'm getting saved. And then David continues. Ilu lo nosan li Achimelech lechem. If Achimelech didn't give me the bread. Yeah? Achimelech wouldn't have given me the bread. Meduma ata sha'amos barav. You think that I'm going to die? Yechesed be'akadosh baruch hu Yisrael kol hayom. Hashem's kindness is all day long. If he wouldn't have given me, someone else would have given
me.
So firstly, you're trying to create a web. I don't know what your problem is. You have so much going for you. Knock some self-esteem into yourself. What are you knocking me down for? And secondly, the item that you're choosing as an evil of Achimelech, what do you think would have happened if he wouldn't have done it? Hashem would have found someone else. It's not even a bad thing. That's Hashem supplying me with what I need, the fortitude, in order to be able to survive this tekufa, this time period of Shaul, when I've been anointed and Shaul thinks he's still king. This crazy dynamic, Hashem's going to get me through it. And meanwhile, you are degrading yourself. A gibor, a great person. But all you're left with is ra, is with evil. David has his shear of encountering Lashon Hara. Before he becomes king, he has Doeg. And at that time, before he becomes king, he sits in a garden and wonders about the spider. And again, before he becomes king, while he's still running from Shaul, Hashem gives him an experience that tells him, spider all you want, Baal Lashon Hara all you want, but there's a reason and a place for everything, and you don't understand why that was put into your provision pack. I'm telling you, there will be an occasion that it's needed. And therefore, grin and bear it. There's a lot you're going to have to put up with, because somewhere along the line, you're going to need it. You as David personally, or you as a nation. Take a look at the Medrash, number 7.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you say that he's going to need the Lashon Hara?
The person.
The spider.
The person. Well, the imagery was that he needed the spider. But if we know what's underlying David's frustration, again, he didn't ask about a million other creatures in this world that we also don't know why they're here. David's a very personal frustration. He took a look at the spider and saw in it the person of Lashon Hara. He uses that imagery in Tehillim. That's the spider.
Right.
Welcome home. So he looks at the spider. Again, nothing against the spider. Hashem could do what he wants, but in it he saw, why did Hashem create and allow to live the Baal Lashon Hara? And Hashem in his effect answering, there's a time and place for everything. We're not condoning the bad behavior of the Baal Lashon Hara. And of course, the analogy ends there, because the spider is not doing anything wrong by spinning its web. But what David saw in that imagery caused him to ask a question. And we have to know what's underlying his question is not really the spider. What's really underlying his question is the Baal Lashon Hara. If you've ever had your house inspected by any of the termite companies, or they love spiders because they look at the webs and they can tell you what creatures have been here. We're not against spiders, David, right? But there's a reason that David was frustrated, and he expressed himself by questioning The spider. You're not question. It doesn't care about the spider. Take it or leave it. He has trouble with the Baal Lashon Hara. And he's being told there's a time and place. Quote number 7. The Pasuk, we're not so far from Purim. Kore Yosei Ish Yehudi. Famous Pasuk that we all call out aloud. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira. And we end off the Pasuk. Ish Yemini. So everybody asks, is he an Ish Yehudi, a person from the tribe of Judah? Or is he an Ish Yemini, a person from the tribe of Benjamin? Yeah? Kore Yosei Ish Yehudi, Chozevi Kore Yosei Ish Yemini. Ela Mishifte Shel Binyamin Haya. Really, Mordechai was from Binyamin. Nothing to talk about. It was the same family as Shaul. When Esther finally reveals who she is to Ahasuerus, she's thrilled. Because this unknown girl from an unknown nationality turns out to be from the royal family of the Jewish people, the family of Shaul. Not the royal as in Judah, but the original king, Shaul, she's from that family. And Esther and Mordechai were related, same family. They were from Binyamin. Uchashayatza Shimi. But Shimi, who was also from that family. Vekila les David, and he cursed David when David was fleeing Yerushalayim from Avshalom, the son of David, the rebellion. So David fled Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim should not become under siege and ransacked. He decided, if Avshalom is after me, I'm leaving. And he took to the hills. Shekein Omar Shimi, Viko Omar Shimi Bekililo, he cursed David. Say, go out of Yerushalayim, Ish HaDomim, the person who's got blood on his hands, Ish HaBelial, a wicked person. Right? David will later say that Shimi cursed me a Klola Nimretzes, a devastating curse. So Nimretzes stands for the five things that Shimi identified in David. Two of them, just to mention, Noef, he called David an immoral person, Rotzeach, he's a murderer, and this is what Shimi called out against David, the king of Klal Yisrael, because David is being rebelled against by his son. In his time of terrible sorrow, this is what Shimi does. Omar le Avishai ben Tzruya, Avishai ben Tzruya asks David, Lama yikalel hakelev hameis hazes Adoni HaMelech. Why should we let this dog curse the king? Ebra navi asira esrosho. Let me proceed. Avishai was a warrior. He said, I will take off his head. I will kindly remove it. Tzafa David. But David looked at Shimi. He had already learned his lesson about Baal Lashon Hara and spiders. And he took a look at Shimi with divine inspiration. And he sensed, Sha'asid Mordechai Latzes Mimenu, that Mordechai is destined to be a descendant of Shimi. Time period. This is before the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is built by Shlomo, David's son. And the Purim story is between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So David takes a look at Shimi and senses that his great-great-grandson, whatever number of children, is going to be Mordechai. Shekein Omar David, that's what David meant in his response to Avishai's offer, Hayom Yumas Ish Be Yisrael. You want to kill an Ish? What do you mean, Ish? Ze Ish Yehudi, the Medrash says. It's talking about the Ish Yehudi, the famous Ish Yehudi, the person who's known in Scripture, who will become known as the man, the Jew. That's what David meant. When he looked at Shimi, he saw there's a man who's destined to come out of him. There's yet going to be an incident when the Jewish people are going to be saved by the righteousness and the intercession of this man, of this man's descendant. The spider will yet save my life. Don't do away with it. Amar Rav Levi, Mahu Ish Yehudi Ish Yemini. Why is Mordechai therefore called both Ish Yehudi and Ish Yemini? Because he was born from David's kindness. Ilule David Shaya Mishifto Shal Yehuda. If not for the act of a person from the tribe of Yehuda, Lo'aya Ish Yemini. You need a biological descending from Binyamin, and you need an incident that was the result of David from the tribe of Yehuda, and that's why Mordechai exists. So we find that as frustrated as David was, and perhaps rightly so, with the Baal Lashon Hara, and by extension, he expresses it by use of the spider, but after his lesson in the cave, he takes a step back, he's slower in judgment, and when he encounters a Baal Lashon Hara in a terrible, terrible circumstance, the Medrash says he's patient. Ish! There's a man over here! Don't make a move! And there's a different Medrash that actually says that when he finally told his son Shlomo to kill Shimi, in the beginning of Malachim, David leaves some last statements and warns his son about Shimi. And if Shimi crosses you, do away with him. The Medrash says he gave Shlomo orders, wait until he's past his childbearing years. Wait until he's already had his children. Because David sensed that there's a descendant from Shimi that we need in the world. He's getting his punishment, but not so fast. Our question after all that, what's the song of the spider? What is attributed, Perek Shira is attributed to David, to Shlomo, to the time of the Mishnah where they recorded it, that wisdom? What is that message? You'll remember, the song of the spider is Halleluhu b'tzeltzelei shama, praise him with the cymbals, Halleluhu b'tzeltzelei serua, praise him with the trumpets. The key word here is tzel, tzeltzel. What does tzeltzel mean? Now,
a shadow.
Shade,
right, that's right.
Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, one of the greatest gifts, if I'm allowed to say that, one of the greatest gifts. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, in his commentary to Parshas Beshalach to Oz Yashir, on the Pasuk, describing the Egyptians drowning in the water. Yardu v'mtzolos kemo oven, they went down into the depths like stone. What does it mean they went down to the depths? Mitsulos. What's the root word? The root word which gives us sail, shade, and also talks to us about the depths, means anything withdrawn from the influence of light or sound. It's been shaded. It's been removed from one circumstance. It's in a new circumstance. Hence, tatzlena aznayim, to become deaf, is tzel, to be shaded from a circumstance. And tziltzel is a deafening, ear-splitting instrument, clashing of cymbals, that drowns out everything else. You give that clang, and you can't hear anything else. And that's how, by the way, it comes to mean the same word. How does the same word come to mean cymbals and trumpets? But it's the tziltzel of a teruah, that powerful, ear-splitting, deafening sound in a blowing form, teruah is a trumpet. In a tzilzele shama, it's the cymbals. What should we do that's ear-shattering, deafening? Hallelujahu. Translate. Praise. Because if you praise in an earth-shattering, ear-splitting way, you will be able to drown out the negativity. Rabbi A.J. Twersky, I believe it's in Generation to Generation, has a fascinating section there on marriages. Marriages that he remembers growing up with. Many of them ill-suited, according to all estimations, but they stuck together and they had happy marriages. He describes one woman there, ill-suited as it comes, the way he saw it. She had a custom to run from synagogue to synagogue to try to get Kiddusha, I think 18 times every day. He writes, anybody who spends their time trying to say Kiddusha 80 times in the day doesn't have time or connection with negativity. There's so much hallelujahu in their lives that it just doesn't stick. No matter what you throw them, they still have a happy marriage. Shemamis Mahi Omeres. What does David see and say when he's sitting in the garden and he sees a spider? He sees a lot of things and he has dialogue with Hashem. But the message he'd like to share with us about the Baal Lashon Hara is instead of Matisalul Bara Hagibor, why does the strong one praise himself with evil instead? Hallelujah, please praise him. The Tzilzele Shoma in a way that deafens anything else. Just blow us away with praise. Hallelujah, the Tzilzele Siruah.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Mordechai Rein. For more information, or to bring Rabbi Rein as a guest lecturer to your community, please call 908-770-9072 or email rmrein@teach613.org. You can also visit us on the web at teach613.org.